Over there we experience the pleasure of the Shekhinah. Over there we have very powerful spiritual sophistication, where we marvel of the divine reality. But after everything said and done, it pales in comparison to one Maisa Teif that a Yid accomplishes in this Olam Hazeh, in the very physical world where there's no the Tainug of Asag of Ziv HaShechinah, where the Shechinah is totally concealed and obscured. But Torah and Mitzvahs were granted to the human beings living souls and bodies in a physical world. And this is part of Hashem. So without Torah and Mitzvahs is less Machshavah Tfisa Beklal. Despite the human being's sophistication and as much as he elevates himself, and as much as he enters state of spiritual ecstasy and deep meditative contemplation and experiences, high and aloof and very deep realities, the deepest of the deep, what he thinks to be the holiest of the holy. After all that said and done, there is somewhere where that stops. It goes quite far. Don't get me wrong. It's quite transcendental. It's quite enjoyable. It's quite delightful. But nevertheless, it falls short from connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydei ba'atzmei, because leis machshava tfisa beklal. Man who is mortal, finite, equivocal, and limited by the very definition of his being, cannot grasp an unequivocal, undefined, infinite, and unlimited entity. Even when you're dealing with Elyonim, you're dealing with creatures of the higher realm. You're dealing with souls and angels that exist in Olam Haba. But nevertheless, after everything's said and done, they have some type of character. True, a spiritual character, not a body. They're not corporal. It's not part of corporal reality. A very deep, a very holy reality. But nevertheless, a reality. A machshava. And leis machshava tfisa beklal. So what do? We're stuck. Ein hachanami. Kiyim. There's only one way to bridge that gulf. There's only one way to pass that infinite gap. To have a connection with Bey, with Him, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. Teirah Mitzvahs. Why? Because this is His Chachma. This is His Ratzin. Over here He gave us something from Himself, from His very essence, from His very character, so to speak. He shares Himself with us and allows us the opportunity to do a mitzvah, to study Torah, and by thus create a relationship with Him. This is very, very interesting, how the Alter Rebbe interprets this Mishnah. Other Mefarshim learn the Pshat and the Mishnah different. Even the Bartanura, Rabbi Vadime Bartanura, which is the standard basic commentary on the Mishnah, when you read his commentary, it's mashma, that how he explains Rabbi Yaakov's statement is as follows. Of course, Olam Haba is much greater than Olam Haza. Regarding the concept of tshuva, ma'isim tayvim, Olam Haza has an advantage. In other words, since in Olam Haba you cannot repent and you cannot do good deeds, the place, the domain of tshuva, ma'isim tayvim is this world. So therefore, if you do not do any tshuva, ma'isim tayvim in Olam Haza, you'll come to Olam Haba devoid of anything. You won't be able to experience the reward of Olam Haba. So therefore, relative to the concept of tshuva, ma'isim tayvim, Olam Haza is greater than the whole life of Olam Haba, not because tshuva, ma'isim tayvim in Olam Haza is greater than the whole life of Olam Haba. Of course Olam Haba is much greater. But nevertheless, the tshuva, ma'isim tayvim, you could do only in Olam Haza. But the Alter Rebbe and other Mefarshim, the Arizdvash, also learns Pshat in the Mishnah. In the literal, Chayda, the literal words of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yaakov is saying that an hour of tshuva, ma'isim tayvim in Olam Haza is greater than the whole life of Olam Haba. So the Alter Rebbe is interpreting it in a much deeper level. It's not only that Olam Haba is, of course, much greater than Olam Haza. Olam Haba, you have a relationship with Hashem, a revealed, conspicuous relationship. Over here, you don't have that relationship. Over here, everything is so concealed and shredded in so many garments and veils and curtains and concealments and contractions and so on and so forth. So, literally speaking, Elam Haba is much greater. It's just that in order to experience Elam Haba, there is something that exists in Elam Haza, and therefore we have no choice. We have to come to Elam Haza. Basically, this world is a tragedy. It's dark. It's evil. It's negative. There's one problem, however. Hashem made that to get to this domain of Elam Haba, you have to do tshuva, ma'aseh, tefachim, dafk in this world. So we live 80, 90, 100 years, 120, whatever, and we lament every day of our existence. What should we do? The only way to get into that palace is by doing a few things down here. Comes the Alter Rebbe and says, no! This world is not a tragedy. Not only is it not a tragedy, every single experience of Elam Haba will pale in comparison to the one moment that a Yid learns Torah and does a mitzvah in Elam Haza. A whole new perspective. Why is that? And no question, to diminish the greatness of Elam Haba is ridiculous. It's only in Elam Haba where there's nanimizim vashchim that doesn't exist in this world. But nevertheless, the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvaydei ba'atzmai exists in this concealed, physical, materialistic, earthly, bodily, corporal world. Because the mitzvah, which is the Ratzin of Hashem, which who are Tzayin Yechad, the Reis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kol Echad, the Torah, this, we can have a relationship to in this world. So therefore, in this world, we typhus, we grasp, we craft and mold a link with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. Interesting, the Baal HaTanya once related the following episode. He was a Lithuanian. His friends used to call him a Litvak. And at the age of 20, he was knowledgeable in all fields of Torah, brilliant mind, as well as other fields of wisdom. And I mentioned this in the first class. He was in search for a personal mentor and guide, a Rebbe. And the question was, either you should go to Vilna, the capital of Lithuania, which was, of course, a center of Talmudic study, headed by the famed Gaon Reb Eliyahu of Vilna, who was the greatest Talmudic authority in his time, the greatest authority in Jewish learning, as well, he excelled as well in the fields of Kabbalah, which Vilna was closer to him, both geographically and intellectually. Mizrich was another center, the seat, the place, the abode of Reb Dov Ber of Mizrich, the great Magid, the ear to Reb Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. Mizrich was both geographically and intellectually more distant. And then he said that the discipline of learning, he mastered a bit, but he has to still be exposed to the discipline of prayer. So he decided to go to Mizrich, and this, of course, decision was the turning point in his life. When he came to Mizrich, in the first while he was there, he struggled. He struggled very severely because he was a brilliant mind, a great intellectual, and he was seeking to fuse the rational, intellectual, concrete elements of Torah with the mystical, metaphysical, soul dimensions of Torah. And in the beginning, he found difficult time. He experienced difficult time in finding his place, his corner where his identity can reach its maximum. He relates that when he came to Mizrich, one day he was sitting among the Chevra Kadisha of the Magid, the Holy Society. And they were discussing the higher realms, the Elyonim, the angels, the spheres, the souls, and discussing the level of experience that characterizes these creatures, their constant, perpetual state of Ratzei Veshuv, of yearning upwards to transcend, and then realizing that they have to return into their own vessels, and discussing their deep love and awe, and so on and so forth. And the conversation became so heated and so powerful that he said you vividly almost felt that you were actually in those realms. And the Holy Society, the great holy tzaddikim, the students of the Magid, went into such a state of ecstasy that totally overwhelmed them and consumed them, that there was mamash a danger that they should be culminated and consumed by these meditative experience, and their soul should leave their body, the experience that is known in Kabbalah as Klois HaNefesh, mentioned in the Perek Gimel, where the soul is totally consumed in a culminating passion and fervor and enthusiasm. And Rebbe Shneur Zalman was very deeply moved by this. And then suddenly, they heard footsteps, and they knew that this is the footsteps of their great Rebbe. Why? The Maggid of Misrich was a very tall man, but he was had extreme. His feet had a severe disease, and therefore he cannot walk by himself. He had to have sticks, crutches, which he would walk with, or a walker. So when they would hear the metals banging on the floor and on the walls, they knew the Maggid was coming. So suddenly, in the deep, deep state that they were, they heard the crutches, the noise of the crutches, and they understood the Maggid is coming. They all jumped up, and the Maggid entered into the room, and he sat down. And he started to talk. And he spoke for just a few minutes. And the content of what he said was as follows. He said that there is a verse in Yeshaya Mem Hei Pasuk Yud Beis, Anochi Asisi Eretz V'Adam Aleha Barasi. I have made the earth, and on the earth I have created man. And the Maggid says as follows, Anochi I, this is I, he who is the true I, the essence of all existence, the source of all existence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvaydei Ba'atzmai. And I concealed myself, and I created an earth through many contractions and constrictions and limitations. I projected reality stage after stage after stage, endless amount of worlds, till I finally created the world of the earth, the universe, where earthly man exists. On this world, I made man. Adam Allah Barasi, I created man on this earth. Man is the ultimate purpose of creation. Barasi, I have created on this earth man. Barasi is the equivalent of the numerical value of 613. Beis Reish Aleph Saf Yud is Taryak 613. Because the purpose of my creating man on this earth was that he should have a relationship with the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. Which the Barasi, the Taryag, this is the end purpose of man. And he concluded that this is the idea which is articulated in the holy book of the Pardes, authored by Rav Moshe Kardaviro, 16th century great Kabbalist of Svat, quoted from the Sefer HaBoyer, the book of the Boyer, authored by Rav Nechunya ben Akana, the Tana. What does he say over there? That the attribute of Chesed, the supernal attribute of Chesed, the sphere of Chesed, came before the Holy One and said, Master of the Universe, I have no work to do on earth since Avraham was created, because Avraham, who personified and embodied Chesed, took away my job, took away my role, my mission from me. I'm going bored, I have nothing to do. Avraham is serving in my place. So the Maggid explained, Avraham, who was a soul clothed in a body, occupying himself with what type of Chesed? Giving food to hungry people, giving drinks to thirsty people, giving people a bed, a room, a bath, they should be able to feel comfortable. This very physical chesed exceeded far and beyond the chesed that existed in the highest supernal realities, and therefore, this attribute of chesed was in envy of our patriarch Avraham, and said, since he came to earth, I have nothing what to do. Concluding these words, Reb Dov Ber retired to his quarters, and his brief remarks, of course, changed the whole atmosphere. It calmed down his disciples and gave them a lot of food for thought. Basically, as Reb Shneur Zalman related, this statement contained the doctrines which form some of the most basic and fundamental ideas of Chassidus. Namely, number one, that the divine eye is unknowable even to the highest supernal creatures. It's not as if you can get to a certain supernal state, and over there you become a partner with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Over there you can make a shidduch with him. The essence of his eye is leish machshava tfisa beklal. That's point number one. Point number two, the pure spirits and intellects, namely the supernal spheres and emanations, are not the end of creation. Point number three, the end of creation is man who was created on earth. Point number four, what is the purpose? That man who is on earth should attain a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Chvaydei Ba'atzmai through Barasi, through the Taryag Mitzvah Satayra, which is the Ratzin and the Chachma of Hashem. And point number five, that in this, from this perspective, man is superior to souls and to angels, although from externally speaking, they are much more spiritual and godlier, so to speak, but nevertheless, on a deeper, more essential level, it is only down in this world that there could be the machshava tfisa bay, the actual grasp, in the divine reality. Over here, Reb Shnei Zalman saw and came to discover the equilibrium between the mystical, aloof, spiritual, meditative experiences, together with that, the concrete, corporal, down-to-earth, rational elements of Yiddishkeit. And he came to discover the perfect synthesis of these two. And he said two things I saw that day. I saw on one hand the sublime ecstasy, the spiritual sophistication, the soul experience of the Holy Society. And on the other hand, I saw the down-to-earth composure and very grounded reality of my master, Reb Dov Ber. This enthralled me completely, and that day I became a chassid. What he appreciated then was not Olam Haza stripped from any spiritual feeling or experience. Yafar Shach B'tshuva Ma'asim Tovim B'Olam Haza, that's it. It can be dry, it can be empty. No, on one hand there was the appreciation of the Olam Haba experience. But after all said and done, he came to learn that Al Yainim, ultimately Leis Machshava Tfisa Beklal, Anoichi Asisi Eretz Vadim Ala Barasi, and that is ultimately the tachlis, the true relationship and great perfection that man can achieve in his life. Is it clear? Okay, so let's continue. Yeah. Yeah. You want to know the tachlis of Olam Haba, Olam Haza, it would seem that all the neshamas of Olam Haba are seeking to come back here. Yeah. Yeah.
Are we trying to get there?
Not necessarily. And everyone has to speak for themselves. I don't know. I'm not trying to get there, yeah?
How does the participation in the cloud relate to this? In other words, not only are there 613 mitzvahs, but I equally partake of the spiritual covenant by being a member of Klal Yisrael. That seems to be a completely different spiritual dimension that seems to be moving along at the same time.
Okay, yeah, good question. Your question is, what is the relationship in addition to the Tayag Mitzvah Satera? We talk about the Klal, that every Jew is a member of the covenant that was crafted between Hashem and the Jew, the very fact that he or she is Jewish, they have a Jewish identity. How does that relate to it? That is another concept which is extremely important. That is the concept you articulated in the second chapter of Tanya, that Nefesh Hashenis B'Yisrael, he chelik alikami ma'al mamash, the second soul of the Jew, by the very virtue that he's Jewish, he was born to a Jewish mother, converted to, according to Jewish law, possesses a consciousness which is truly part of the divine reality. And as thus, every Jew, no matter who he or she is, no matter where he or she lives, no matter how much they know, or they even how much they are affiliated, are connected. They have a Jewish identity. In the words of Chazal, Afal Pi Shechata Yisraelu, even though he sinned, he's a Jew. A Jew is a Jew is a Jew. He has a neshama. But over here, he's talking about another concept. He's talking about the garments of the soul, not about the identity of the soul. The identity of the soul, after everything said and done, is a soul, is body consciousness. And therefore, even concerning the soul of the Jew, we say, Leis Machshava Tfisa Beklal. As great as it may be, as aloof as it may be, it remains confined by the very physical or even spiritual aloof parameters of its existence. I spoke a few weeks ago that, as you know, as much you cannot jump over your own head, because the head jumps together with you. So the soul, as much as it soars and it's elevated, nevertheless, we still say, no thought can apprehend it whatsoever. Over here in Perek Dalet, the focus of the Perek is where he introduces the concept that Hashem allowed us to experience Him, Him in His very essence. He stretched out His arm to us. He sheared with us. He granted to us a part of Himself. And therefore, that has a dimension in it which surpasses everything else. The deepest passions, the deepest comprehensions, the deepest philosophical, psychological, or emotional discoveries or insights. Now, although the Torah has been clothed in lowly material things. And these lowly material things obscure and conceal their true inner content. Nevertheless, we say that Yafeshach is betruv ma'isim tayvim b'ilam hazem mikol chayilam haba. What is the Alter Rebbe asking over here? After everything said and done, something still perturbs him. Let's face it. If you'll go and learn a shtickel Torah, you'll open up a Gemara and you learn a Mishnah about hamachlif para b'chamer, about exchanging a cow for a donkey. What are you learning about? You're learning wisdom about a cow and a donkey which are being exchanged with each other. And problems come up. The cow gave birth to a child, and you do not know when did the cow give birth. Did the cow give birth before it was you made the exchange or after you made the exchange? Does that child belong to you, or does it belong to the person you exchanged the donkey with? The cow with? That is the question. So you learn in Mishnah and in Gemara the different logical ideas and concepts that are born, that are evoked within this issue, and finally a verdict. So true, we learned about a case. There was wisdom in this case. There was logic in this case. Do you sense, do you experience that this is Chachmasi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is the divine wisdom which is one with Him. We do not. Why is that? This is Chachmasi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For a very simple reason. Hashem took this Chachma. Hashem took this wisdom, as He said before in Perek Dalet, and articulated it and manifested it in terminology and phraseology of physical terms, concepts, ideas, experiences, that we should be able to relate to it. And the same is true with mitzvahs. If you take a piece, you know what the mitzvah is, that you have to eat Pesach HaMatzah. If you have a garment with four corners, you have to put on tzitzis on these garments. So it's a very fixed physical will. You know that this has to be done. Do you sense that this is mamish the will of Hashem, that when you put on this tzitzis, you created a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvei d'batzma? No, we do not. If this is the case, why is it that Yafeshach b'tshuva ma'isim tovim b'ilam hazem mikol chayei olam haba? Mele, if Torah and mitzvahs would be in this world, tshuva ma'isim tovim would be of the nature that when we learn the Torah, when we observe the mitzvah, conspicuously, we taste the will and the wisdom of Hashem, fine. In other words, if tshuva ma'isim tovim in this world would be the original state of Torah and mitzvahs, the wisdom and will which before it ascended through the stages, through the order of evolution, the wisdom and the will as it was in Makim Kvaida, in its original sublime aloof state, as it was part and parcel of one with Hashem, which we cannot fathom, which we cannot comprehend, which we cannot grasp. Then I understand. Olam Haba is only Ziva Shechina, and this is the Shechina itself. But since Hashem did not do it like that, Hashem articulated and defined it in a manner that we do not sense that intensity, we do not sense that divine reality. Why? Because the Torah is enclosed in lowly physical things. It's divine, metaphysical, metaphysical, part of Hashem's reality, is totally obscured and concealing its true nature. Is it better than Olam Haba? At least in Olam Haba, you sense godliness. After everything's said and done, it's very possible after learning Perek Dalet, you see a mitzvah and you do not experience it. You do not relate to it. In Olam Haba, that problem doesn't exist. Granted, Olam Haba is Ziv Hashchina, but at least it's Ziv Hashchina. In Olam Haba, there's no reality but the light of godliness, but spirituality, but holiness, but sanctity. Over here, the whole Shechina itself became enclosed in physical and lowly realms, both Torah and mitzvahs, the wisdom and the will. So the Alter Rebbe says, it is by way of illustration like one who embraces a king. Shein hefrish b'maylus is karvusi udveikusi b'malach. There is no difference in the degree of his closeness and attachment to the king, whether he embraces him when the king is wearing one robe or when the king is wearing many robes. Why? Why is there no difference? Since the king's body is within them. One can say, listen, I want to embrace the king only winter, not summer. Why? Winter, he wears only one garment, one shirt. So when I embrace it, when I'm embracing him, in the summer, he's wearing one garment, one shirt. So when I embrace him, I'm mamish close to him. There's only one little thin veil that's separating my physical body from his physical body. Shite. But in the winter, there's one shirt and then another shirt and then a coat, a robe, and then a coat, and so on and so forth, and a scarf on that. So when I'm embracing him in the summer, it's going through so many garments that are separating between us two. So the answer is, of course, that's totally untrue, because although indeed sometimes the king is wearing only one garment or two garments, and sometimes many garments, there is no difference in the degree of the attachment or the relationship to the king. Whether he's wearing one robe or many robes, the main thing is that his body is inside. So when you are embracing the garments, yes, sometimes it's via many mediums, garments, and instruments. But the degree of attachment is precisely the same. And the same is true vice versa. Similarly, when the king embraces one with his arm, though it be dressed in his robes, nevertheless, it is identical to when the king is embracing him with his arm, even if the arm is not dressed within any robes, because the body of the king is inside. You're dealing with the arm of the king, which is embracing him. And similar is true regarding Torah and mitzvahs. True, there are many, many, many garments. If the Torah and mitzvahs would have remained in their quintessential realm, in their quintessential original state, we would not fathom them. If Torah and mitzvahs, the wisdom and will of Hashem, would remain in their deepest state, in their most original, pure, intense state, and nothing would be done, we mortal, finite, equivocal human beings would not be able to relate to them. Hashem wanted to relate to them. So what did He do? He dressed them up in many garments. He translated and articulated this very aloof wisdom and will in terminology and words and language that we can understand. So therefore, you're dealing with a cow and a donkey, a very physical cow and donkey. But the wisdom of this cow and donkey is his very wisdom. The body of the king is inside of them. True, if we would experience the Torah on that level, you'll say there are no garments. But nevertheless, even after all the garments, the body of the king is in all these garments. It's not just he throws a garment and he's somewhere else. The mitzvahs, as they are articulated in their most physical and corporal level, this is his very quintessential will that transcends every human experience. That is what has been granted to us. The wisdom that relates to a physical phenomenon and reality in Torah, in Halach, in Shulchan Aruch, in whatever it may be of Yiddishkeit, this is his very chachma. The melech, the body of the melech, is in all these levushim. So you'll say, Eilam Haba is greater over here. What am I dealing with? I'm dealing with donkeys and cows. I'm dealing with wool of sheep and unfermented leaven. What am I dealing with? It's exactly like saying, there are so many garments. So what is the use of this? But the point is, although it's very physical to the extent that sometimes you don't even feel it, and you can even deny it, but nevertheless, over here is the very melech. Over here is the very king. And now, he brings a pasuk to illustrate that the Torah is analogous to a royal embrace, k'may shekasuf. It's written in Shir HaShirim, v'yiminei techapkei nishleima, Malach says in Shir HaShirim, perek ches pasuk gimel, his Hashem's right hand embraces me. He says, smaylei tachas l'roishi, his left hand is under my head, v'yiminei techapkei, his right arm embraces me. So we see a concept of a divine embrace. What does it mean, his right hand embraces me? Shehi HaTorah. This refers to the Torah. Shenitna Mimin. The Torah is called the right hand of Hashem, because Torah was given by Hashem's right hand. The beginning of Parshas Vayeshev Habracha, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Beis, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Miminoi Eish Das Lamai. Which means that from his right hand he presented the fiery Torah to them. Eish Das is the fiery Torah. So when you say Yiminoi techapkeini, his right arm embraces me. What is his right arm? Miminoi, from his right arm he gave Torah. It's the Torah. Why do we call why do we associate Torah with the right arm? Shehi pchinas chesed umayim. For the Torah is related to the attribute of chesed, of kindness and water. Explained in the Kabbalah regarding the spheres, that the right hand represents both chesed as well as water. In the physical world, water evolves from the supernal attribute of chesed. As said earlier in the Pedig, the Torah is compared to water, which flows, which leaves its high plane and descends to a low plane. So Torah is like water, and as thus also the concept of chesed, which is a projection from inwards to outwardness, the Torah travels and is granted from Hashem to us. It's Hashem sharing Himself with us. Therefore, the Torah is associated with His right arm, of course, in a metaphorical, total metaphorical, as a parable, in a metaphorical level, that mimino yesh das lama, he gave Torah from his right arm, meaning that the Torah is connected to chesed and mayim, which is associated with the right dimension of the spheres. And this is the meaning, one of the explanations in Shlomo HaMelech's words, v'yimino techapkeni, his right arm shall embrace me, that the Torah embraces the Jew. In other words, by us having the Torah and the mitzvahs, what we are basically experiencing is an embrace of Hashem. So everything else we experience in our life, in our physical life, or even in our spiritual life, as great and as deep, as holy as they may be, is wonderful, is amazing, is extraordinary. But it falls short to Torah. What is Torah? Torah is embracing Hashem. And it's the only way to embrace Him. Everything else is embracing loftiness, embracing mountains, embracing heavens, embracing spheres, embracing angelic beings, and so on and so forth. But to embrace Hashem, and to allow yourself to be embraced by Him, it's through Torah mitzvahs. Leis machshava tfisa beklal ki'im. The ki'im. There's only one way that a machshava could be imtefis. Through Torah, and through its mitzvahs. Any questions? Pardon? That's a good question. You're asking, in Olam Haba, they also have a kesher to Torah. So over there, you certainly have it. Okay, the question being asked is that in Olam Haba they also have Torah. In Olam Haba they learn Torah. Furthermore, in previous classes we discussed that the Torah went through a process of evolution where the Torah existed in every world according to the parameters of that world. And therefore, Torah is called Mashal HaKadmoini, because every level of Torah is a metaphor for the higher level of Torah, which is the Nimshal. So the para and the chamar that exist in this physical world have also a counterpart in the metaphysical realm, and over there the same logic is studied, although the terminology over there is different. And that's why Torah is called a mashal to a nimshal. So if so, they also have Torah. So first and foremost, of course, this question is only regarding Torah, not mitzvahs. Mitzvahs exist only in this world. But Alter Rebbe says in this period that it's not only mitzvahs which are ratz in Hashem and are one with Him. Also Torah is chachmas shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and are one with Him. Generally speaking, there's two points over here. Point number one is the Gemara defines Olam Haba as being a place where tzaddikim yoshvim v'atreseihem b'reishayhem v'nehenim meziv hashchina. The Gemara, it says, what does the Olam Haba consist of? The fact that they are nehenim meziv hashchina, that they enjoy the radiance of the Shechina. The Gemara does not say over there that they learn Torah or that they observe mitzvahs. The Gemara says, what do the neshamas do in Olam Haba? Nehenim meziv hashchina. They enjoy the radiance of the Shechina. So the Shaila is not from that Chazal, which the Alter Rebbe quotes. From that Chazal, you see the definition of Olam Haba is nehenim meziv hashchina, and that's only ziv hashchina. The question is, you're asking from other places where it says that Olam Haba they learn Torah. How is that to be reconciled? Very briefly speaking, I don't want to get into it because it's a subject of its own. But briefly, we'll say as follows: the Gemara knows the story in Baba Metzia, where there was a big machlaikas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Lazar, a major machlaikas, and a baskel, a voice from heaven came out and said that the halach is like Rabbi Lazar. So I think it was Rabbi Yeshua of Metziah Dafnun Test. Then Amad Rabbi Yeshua Raglov, and then of Amar Teira Lei Bashamayim. Eimash Gechem Bebaskel. Rabbi Yeshua stood up and said, since the days that the Chumash Torah says in Dvarim, Torah Lei Bashamayim, Torah is not in heaven, it was given on earth, we do not listen to a voice from heaven. So the voice from heaven is not going to decide what the halach is. Us mortal human beings with our minds have the authority to decide what halach is, and therefore they actually made a verdict which was antithetical to the opinion of Rebbe Lazarus. He says, before Torah was given, we would not say it. But once Torah was given, it's Torah Lei Bashamayim. So the question is, what's going on? What do you mean, Torah Lei Bashamayim? Why not? There's no Torah Bashamayim. The question continues. 2 weeks ago, we discussed the story in Masechet Shabbos where Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to receive the Torah. The Malachim were very disappointed. They said, what is a human being doing over here? Moshe was frightened. Hashem said, answer them. Moshe said, in your Torah, what does it say? You want the Torah? In Torah, it says, respect your father and your mother. You have a father and a mother. In Torah, it says, you shouldn't murder. You have instincts to murder. You shouldn't steal. What you want to steal, the different laws regarding business, money, you don't do business. There's no robbery. There's no thievery. There's no crime. There's no punishment that exists in this world. So you want the Torah. The Malachim were complaining, Tnait chal ha-shamayim, don't give a human being the Torah. The Malachim conceded. They agreed to him. And they allowed the Torah to come down. And the question is, if the Malachim would have been victorious, Chas v'Shalom, hypothetically speaking, what type of Torah would have it been? What type of Torah would have it been? I mean, what type of brilliance do you need to say Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? The whole Torah is dealing with issues that relate to this physical world. So the answer is that every aspect in the Torah that we have has a spiritual counterpart. So the Malachim did not want the physical Torah. Of course they didn't have no relationship with that. They wanted the spiritual Torah. But they did not want the Torah should go a step further. If they would have been victorious, if you would have opened up a Gemara and learned about a cow and a donkey, you would have not had the ability to translate it as a physical cow and a physical donkey. Torah would have not assumed the physical incarnation. It would have not enclosed itself in a physical identity. It would have stopped short in the spiritual realms of existence and would not continue to descend even further and assume a physical garment, a physical vestment. That's what the Malachim were complaining of. Why do you have to take the Torah and translate it a step further? Let the dinim of the laws of leprosy, the laws of a white hair that exist on a person's body, not take on the physical dimension. Let them remain in the spiritual realm, what a spiritual hair means, what spiritual whiteness means, what a spiritual leprosy means, and so on and so forth regarding all the ideas, wisdom, and mitzvahs of the Torah. Yeah? If so, what did Moshe answer them? What did Moshe answer them? This is like a good taina. Yeah? This is pshat. I told you the Alshich says pshat like this. Briefly, the Marsha even is Meramis. They were not asking for Nig, they were asking for Sa. They wanted Kabbalah. That's what they wanted. So what did Moshe answer? He said that ultimately the Torah is dealing with a physical father and mother. The Malachim did not know that. So all the Svarim, this is a famous thing, the Chidah writes on it, V'hi Shegeris and Meshugeris, it's such an old Torah that it's coming out, that everyone says it frequently. The famous thing with Bar Metzra, the famous idea of Bar Metzra. The Din of Abashra, Baba Metziah Dav Kufches, the Din of Bar Metzra. If you have a field, and you want to sell it to someone, but you have a neighbor who has a field nearby, and he wants to buy this field from you, he's ready to give you the money of the field. And for him it's much easier, he should have two fields near each other. So there's a din vasisa yashir vatev, the din of a metzvah, that you're obligated to give him the field, to sell it to him, and not sell it to the stranger. Because the stranger could buy the field somewhere else. But since he has a field right nearby, so it's easier for him to have two fields in close proximity, rather than one field in the south of the city and the other field in the north of the city. This is the halach. So they said that the malachim's taina was the taina of b'metzvah. The chidah says this, a lot of rishenim say it, achreinim say it. What was that? The Malachim tainet by Metzah. They said that Torah is in closer proximity to us. You want to take the Torah and you want to give it to the Jewish people. It's not fear. We want to take it and we'll do the same thing with it which the Jews do. And we have a tainet because we're already in the spiritual realm of existence. We're closer, so to speak, to spirituality, to divinity. Why go to earth when you can give it to heaven? What did Moshe Rabbeinu answer them? Moshe Rabbeinu said something very powerful over here. And this the Malachim cannot refute. Moshe Rabbeinu said, and this is also the pshat and the difference between Olam Haba and Olam Haza, that the real Chachma and Ratzon of Hashem is realized only in the materialistic and physical world. In the world where there is a father and a mother, and you can respect them or disrespect them. In a world where there's murder, where there's thievery, where there's jealousy, where there's competition. It's another reality. Only in this world is the true power and essence of Hashem's wisdom and will realized. Why is this? Because in the physical world, and only in the physical world, can we experience the power of Torah and mitzvahs to transform, to metamorphosize, to eradicate, to make a drastic change, to make a dark world into a beautiful, holy, and godly place. And the din by Bamatzra is that if you're going to sell it to one person and he's going to build a house, and he sells it to another person and he's just going to use it for a field, although the person who is going to use it for a field that has a second field near it, you're allowed to give it to the person who's going to buy a house, because Yishuv Adiv, the Gemara says over there in Bava Metzia, building a house is more important than a field. And the same is true spiritually speaking. The Malachim, when they have Torah, they make out of it a field, a beautiful field. But then there's a house. The house is what we learn later in Tanya about Nesava Kadosh Baruch Hu Liyis Leidiri B'Tachtayinim, that Hashem created the physical world because He wanted an abode, a home in the physical world. It's only in the physical world we could make a home for the Hashem. Why is that? In the spiritual world, we'll learn about that more in an elaborative manner later. In the spiritual worlds, the essence of the Shekhinah cannot be realized because there's a Ziv HaShekhinah which obscures it and conceals it. The Ziv HaShekhinah takes away the focus from the essence of the Shekhinah. It is only in the physical world, which is devoid of any spiritual sophistication and any spiritual light, that the Shekhinah can be realized. Yes, the unsophisticated Shekhinah, the unsophisticated lowly worlds, has a relationship with the Shekhinah that's beyond any level of spiritual sophistication and aloofness and sublimity, and so on and so forth. So the dira, the home, which houses the divine essence, like a home which houses the essence of the human being, versus a car which also houses you, your farm also houses you, your business also houses you, but there's one place where you're there. That's your home. It is in the home. The home of Hashem can only be on earth. The essence of Torah and mitzvahs, the Chachma and the Ratzon, how it comes down to earth, is even deeper than it has existed in the Olam HaSalyanim. Because over here, with the Chachma and Ratzon, transform a dark world into a godly place. Over here lie the essence of the Chachma and Ratzon, and this is revealed only in this world. And therefore, the true Eraisav Kutchabrichu Kulachat, although to a significant degree, we say Eraisav Kutchabrichu Kulachat regarding all levels of Torah, nevertheless, it is in Olam Haza. In Olam Haza. And the Mishnah emphasizes Tshuva Maisim Tovim, not Torah. The Mishnah emphasizes mitzvahs. But even regarding the concept of Torah, the true bias, the true Bar Metzra bias, exists in Olam Haza. This is in a very brief and concise manner. These concepts will be understood much better as we progress and continue learning the next Prakim of the Tanya. I want to conclude with a little story, particularly in connection with what we have explained in the beginning of the class concerning the significance of the passion imbuing the physical performance of the mitzvahs and so forth. So I want to end off with a little story which underscores another important issue concerning this discussion. Previously we discussed one explanation in the powerful significance of the regish, of the feelings, of the emotions, of the passions that have to imbue the learning of Torah and the observance of mitzvahs in light of what Alter Rebbe explains in this perek. But there's also another point. One of the great chassidim of the Rebbe Maharash and the Rebbe Rashab, the 4th and 5th Lubavitcher Rebbes, was Rabbi Yaakov Mardechai, who was the rabbi of the Russian city Poltava. The Chassid Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai was a lifelong Ovid, which means one who devoted himself to the service of Hashem by perfecting his behavior and character, and striving to attain a true love and awe of the Almighty through meditation, through prayer. For decades, Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai has deprived himself of all physical comforts in order to refine his nature, his character, his inner identity. Before his passing, however, Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai expressed deep regret at having weakened his body with such unrelenting work. Perhaps Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai felt, had he not been so hard on himself, he would have been able to live longer, and then he would have lived to observe even one more mitzvah. And Rabbi Yaakov Mordechai expressed himself saying that 30 years to sleep on a bench pales in comparison of putting on tefillin once. He said to put on tefillin one more time is far more valuable than to sleep on a bench for 30 years. Which is basically the idea conveyed in this perek, that the levushei hanefesh, the machshava dibra ma'isa of Torah and mitzvahs, are infinitely, not in a finite fashion, they're infinitely superior to the experience of the soul itself. Because this is a mitzvah, and a reisa v'kutcha b'ruchu kulacha, this is Hashem Himself. And sleeping on a bench for 30 years is the refinement of one's character and one's identity, one's own metzius. So later, Chassidim said, true, to put on tefillin once is more valuable than to sleep on a bench for 30 years. But to be able to say that, one must first sleep on a bench for 30 years. Have a good day and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.